I guess the easiest way to start this is, what is your reaction to JP's comments from this morning?
I actually kind of giggled when I heard him. I mean, I can understand how frustrated he is. If I was him, I would be too if I was playing the way he's playing. First year arbitration eligibility, the team's under 500, last place. And, you know, he's the starting catcher. And, you know, when you're a starting catcher, a lot of the responsibility and accountability lands right on you. And that's a lot for some young men to handle. I know I wasn't able to handle it early in my career. It took me till I got to be in my early 30s before I was able to deal with it on an everyday basis. And, you know, I understand that, you know, he's frustrated, but, you know, this is the big leagues and, you know, everybody's evaluated based on performance. And let's be honest, the performance hasn't been there. It hasn't been there. You know, it would be bad for us to try to skew the numbers in order to paint a rosy picture of his performance this year. You know, the on-base percentage is low, batting average is low, the RBI or the runners in scoring position batting average is low. You know, he's got, you know, more pass balls than walks. I mean, what kind of a picture am I supposed to paint? But on the other side of the coin, I'm the guy who tells fans to get off his back when he has a pass ball or he doesn't throw somebody out because, let's be honest, he doesn't have a catching instructor. There's nobody here to teach him or help him with his catching on a daily basis. When he strikes out all the time, I'm the one person that says, you know what, don't be upset with JP. If I was his manager, I would say try to hit me doubles and homers too because I don't want you out there wearing yourself out on the base paths unnecessarily. You know, I would say be a better situational hitter when the time comes, but other than that, go for it. I'm the guy who he came to in his first big league spring training for help. He's got my phone number. He's got my email address. I sit in the same place watching batting practice every single day. If he had a problem with something that I said, he probably should have came to me privately and said it to me and said, you know what, why do you say this? I think this is unfair. And I would have said, well, I don't think it's unfair. This is why I said it. And we could have dealt with it like that. But, you know, I think he feels like because my forum and my platform is television and public, because that's the nature of my job is to analyze what I see on the field, that he felt the need to go do it on the radio. But the I think the accusations and you know, the things that he said, he may come to regret those at some point, because, you know, I certainly have said and done some things in my youth that I came to regret.
Greg, I want to follow. He mentioned the PEDs. According to a story in the National Post, when you were named in the Mitchell Report, you said that you had given a blank check to a teammate, Jason Grimsley, and where the name wasn't filled out. And Grimsley, who was also named in the report, used that check to was accused of using that check to buy PEDs. I just want to ask you, will you take any legal action at all about what Aaron Cebia said today?
I don't know yet. You know, it just depends. I'm usually not that kind of a guy. But you know what? These are allegations. I never failed a drug test in my career. But people can write all the things that they want to say about you. It doesn't mean they're true. That's why I don't get too hyped up about what they're saying about, you know, Mookie and A-Rod and Ryan Braun and the likes of these guys, Nelson Cruz with this place in Miami or Florida. Mm-hmm. And I've been through this, and you know, I know how powerful the court of public opinion can be. I watched a teammate of mine, Julio Lugo, go through it when he was accused of domestic violence in the parking lot at the then Minute Maid Park, and it wasn't true. And so, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, done and said a lot of things, but you know, that was over the line. You could be upset with my analysis of your play all you want to, but to flat out, you know, say those kind of things on air and publicly, that's out of bounds, and it goes against, you know, for lack of a better term, it goes against bro code.
Greg, do you think you're too critical of him?
No, I don't think I'm too critical of him. I would say the same things to JP if I was his coach. I would say the same things if I was his father and I had taught him how to catch, his uncle if I had taught him how to catch. This guy has so much talent that is untapped. He's not getting the best of what he could be. And I'm not saying it's all, it's not all his fault. He can talk about how hard he works all the time. I'm here early every day. I've not seen him one time out here working on his catching or throwing or blocking. Now, it might be happening in the batting cage. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But if all you're working on is trying to go deep, then you're pretty remiss, because there's more to this game than trying to hit home runs. And I'm the first to admit, I want him swinging for extra bases. But there is more to this game, and there's more to evaluating your own personal performance than just how many home runs you've hit.
You talked about being accessible to JP. Can you explain that? Are you around the batting cage during the day? Are you on the field during the day?
No. I sit right in my studio, right above the left field bullpen. I'm here every day during their batting practice. I go down every once in a great while. The reason why I don't go to batting practice, and I've caught some heat from a few people about this, is because my job is to analyze what I see during the game. It's not to go down and listen to stories and glad hand and play the slap and tickle game. I don't need to hear from the players or the coaches or the front office people what they think I should be talking about on air. I don't need them to skew my opinion or my vision of what I saw the night before or what I'm going to see that particular day or night on the field. It's plain and simple. I analyze what I see on the field. Did you or did you not get the bunt down? Did you or did you not throw the ball over the plate? Were you able to put a ball in play with the bases loaded and nobody out? Plain and simple. It's not that difficult. I don't need to go hang around on the field and sweat my tuchus off in a sometimes three-piece suit and listen to, you know, all the nonsense that goes on down there. I did it for 22 years.
Greg Zahn is our guest. And Greg, was there any attempt made today, whether by you, by Rogers, by the Blue Jays, to have the two of you talk?
No. Dirk spoke with him earlier today. I was on the field for a brief moment. He was taking batting practice. I was not going to interrupt him. He knows where to find me. He's got my phone number, my email address. He has for years. That's why I'm surprised that this is all happening the way it's happening now, because I spoke with Jeff Blair about it. He'll be able to verify the story. When I had problems with things that Jeff Blair said about me or inaccuracies in his reporting, I always called him out on it. I would either call him on the telephone, email him, or actually when he was around, walk up to him. But for somebody to say that I'm not present, that's ridiculous. I'm one of the most approachable guys in the world, and there's still a handful of guys on this team who played with me, who know how to find me. Like I said, I'm in the building. I'm just not necessarily standing around bothering them. And I won't go in the clubhouse unless I absolutely have to, because I hated when media guys were standing around in the clubhouse unnecessarily. If I've got questions, I'll go down there and ask them. But other than that, I'm intruding on their time, and I'm intruding on that. The only time you ever hear players talk about your presence or your lack of presence down there is when they have something to say to you, but it must not be that important to them, because all they had to do was walk 10 feet and wave at me, and I would have been there in a heartbeat.
So I guess my biggest is, why do you think it happened now?
I have no idea. I don't know why all of a sudden. I got wind of something yesterday. I was thinking to myself, well, I don't know why he's upset all of a sudden. You know, I was just on air responding to Gibby calling him the whipping boy of the media, and I was saying I don't think that's fair. He shouldn't be held overly accountable because of A, B, and C. And I mentioned the fact he doesn't have a catching instructor here on staff. He had one last year in Don Wakamatsu, but it's my understanding, and I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right, he didn't have one in AA or AAA. I said the other day that Sal Pisciano should be here every single day working with JP Arencibia. This is a guy who you're counting on to be the general on the field for you, and you don't have a coach on staff that works with him defensively. Can't be John Gibbons. He's got too much on his plate. So I don't think I'm wrong in that matter. So I'm still wondering why all of a sudden I'm you know, getting called out on a radio show. I don't mind him coming up to me and saying, I don't like what you say. I don't think it's fair. I'll try to explain to him why I think it's a fair assessment. But I'd say the same thing to him. If I was there every day on the field with him as a coach, I'd be telling him, you're not good enough. You need to get better.
Greg, we thank you very much for joining us today, taking the time.
Well, my pleasure.